Welcome back to Heroic Stats and Any Heroics podcast. This is episode 8. My name's Stephen, and I'm here with John, the intern, Jordan, the mildly inebriated one, and Dave, the one who actually knows about the game. Anyone who's new here, episode 8's probably a good place to start if you have only just stumbled upon the podcast. Basically, we talk about current events in the hobby, including tournaments that have just gone, potentially tournaments that are coming up, as well as the ongoing stats and meta. So firstly, just a little hobby roundup. What's everyone been up to hobby-wise?
I did the beginning parts of building my new Gwar here earlier today, so I'm hoping that I can get him on the tabletop at some point. I get so intimidated by painting big models. Don't be surprised if he's basically brown and awash for quite a long time, just because I'm always thinking like, oh, I need to do a good job, and then that means never do any job of any kind. I'm hoping that my contrast job on the Watcher has encouraged me to maybe just try it and do something and get something done, rather than just looking at a half-painted model for a year and a
I
half.
found Goblin Warrior, whatever that contrast paint is of the lighter green on the Watcher, with her like, if you did a slap chop like grey and then white, with her like textured skin, it actually came out really quite nice
Well, my
for how
Watcher.
minimal effort it took.
Yeah, I mean, I painted my Watcher quite a while ago now, but it was basically just it wasn't contrast paints. It was the army paint, speed paints that I won once. They're just what I happened to have. So I mucked around with. I talked to John about this actually at the time. I don't know if you remember, John. It was like
Yeah, I do.
purple, then green over the top, and then green, and then purple over the top. And I was never really happy with it, so I just kept doing purples and greens until it kind of came out looking gribbly enough. Anyway, yeah, it doesn't really matter. It looks fine.
I've been working on my Arnor, all 50 models are now semi-painted, so I've got about a week and a half to get them finished.
Yeah, I'm
Nothing's
up to
finished out of
standard.
50 yet, so it
Very
might be a
cool.
bit of a rush.
Nicely done.
That's a good start. I've actually started some hobbying today, because I've recently acquired a new Mirkwood army. I was today years old when I found out that there's no official Mirkwood banner model. What?
Not a Mirkwood Elf banner, no, there's a Palace Guard banner.
I know, but like, j
There's
like.
also a Galadhrim warrior with converted to be holding a banner with a Bjorning head that John painted. Oh, it's half vanishing. There you go.
Oh,
That's
nice.
not mine. I just borrowed it off John in September and haven't given it back to him yet.
Because you knew we were going to have this conversation and you were like, yes, I will
Exactly.
borrow that so I
I wanted
can.
something relevant to have to hand.
One
Yeah.
day I'll get
Exactly.
Thoren back.
So go me. I'm also using some generation shift bases, which I bought at, I want to say, 2022 Ardacon. If you haven't checked out Generation Shift 92 on Facebook, he does the resin bases that you'll see for like loads of people's models. Good
Yet another
quality.
sponsor of the
Yeah.
podcast.
Yeah, another sponsor of the podcast. Shout out Matt. Wait, his name's not Matt, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
It
it
is,
is
yeah.
Matt. Okay, thank fuck for that. Almost ruined our sponsorship. Jordan, what have you been up to hobby-wise?
I've got a new, like, I mean, we've all got some new things in, it sounds like, but I've got some new Far-Harad stuff in, which I've been waiting for a little while. And they're all built, sprayed, ready to get painted. I've got an event in a few weeks that I'm hoping to bring them to, see if I can get them all ready in time. So, yeah, it's Far-Harad. They are definitely, there's lots of blade pipes, lots of spears, lots of wicker shields that I am currently looking at.
It's your blowjobby list, isn't it?
It is the blowjobby list. Yeah, lots of blade pipes. My nickname's Jobby, if anyone's wondering where that comes from. The blowjobby list, yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense with the context.
Yeah, yeah,
All
yeah.
right.
Right, should we move on to our first tournament of the
Yeah, we've
weekend?
had three tournaments this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got the perfect split. We've got 100, 90, and an 80. And
Beautiful.
just to clarify, I know it was a comment we covered before, but in the UK we have three kind of tiers of tournaments. We have GBHL 100s, which are the kind of most competitive national sized events. We have GBHL 90s, which are smaller regional events, still fairly competitive, but you get less people traveling on the whole. And then we have 80s, which are supposedly a bit more focused just around the hobby, playing some games, and are a bit less competitive.
That's what? Where you get wacky rules like last week's rain on the mountain and you know, weather effects and that sort of thing. That's where the craziness begins, is the general idea.
Slight correction, you don't get less people at the events, you get fewer people at the events.
Okay, moving on. So which event do we have first, John?
We will cover that shortly. We just have to do a slight name change for somebody. Maybe I'll edit this out, who knows.
I'm excited to see if this stays in the video.
What are you wearing, Stephen, by the way? Is that a shawl, Laura?
No, it's a blanket because it's very cold in my house. Also, that's blanket, not how you spell blanket. Grammar. For the audio listeners,
I think that's the intent.
Has changed my name to Grammar Police, but spelt it wrong.
Okay. So, our first event of the weekend, moving swiftly on, was the Warhammer World GT.
The foremost event in the year, to some, one of them anyway.
It was a GBHL 100 held at Warhammer World in Nottingham. It was TO'd by, unsurprisingly, the Warhammer World events team. Players played 700 points for six games, and it was good v evil, so playing three games with each faction. Do we know how many players there were? I couldn't easily
76,
find
I believe.
That information. 76 also, people battling it out.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just going to say you've spelled that name wrong, but that's all right.
Is that roughly like 38 tables?
Exactly 38 tables, I would say.
Shout out Warhammer World, sponsors of the Any Heroics podcast.
Most sporting was won by Chris Murphy. I think he's been picking up quite a few most sportings
for the last like 10 years. Yeah,
I was going to say he's an absolute stalwart. He's been playing the game since before the GBHL. He's been running Scouring of Stirlingshire with David Reed for the last 10 years.
We've definitely name dropped him before.
Yeah, absolute stand up bloke, honestly. But that is also not how you spell his surname.
Yeah, late fire the intern.
also, that's not his. Yeah, nice. Okay, you've yeah.
Moving sorry. Swiftly on. Phil Beale won Best Painted with a fantastic Lake Town display board.
This
fucking blows it out of the water.
For the audio listeners, we often say go and check out the photos. Actually, do this time. Yeah. Although this is such a boring display board. It's just a Lake Town board. What? He fucking built Smaug into the ball.
So this is a custom Lake Town house with Smaug climbing over it, breathing fire. Now, you can't see it in this photo, but that fire is also lit up from within with LEDs. There you go. Wow. I personally love that he's done the bard thing as well. He's got a bard using his son as a crossbow because, you know, parenting is hard, I guess. Yeah, it's a phenomenal piece. I think that also it has an interesting thing where that is probably a slightly easier Smaug to play with than the average because it doesn't overhang in quite the same way because of how he's modeled it to be leering over the building. Yeah, it's taller, way taller. Awkward. Yeah,
which is why it makes it easier to use in general because the base is less obscure. The base is actually clearer.
Exactly, and the edges of the base are easier to get models in contact with. I agree.
Yeah.
The real question is there a Bilbo on it, like the regular Smaug base?
The fact that he's just reposed the entire 2.7 kilogram, 12 inch long model.
420 pound model, yeah.
Yeah, that also costs that much money. Just absolute insanity. I think this might be the coolest thing I've seen ever.
With regards
to the hobby.
I very much admire how well it fits together as well. The whole thing goes together incredibly. Yeah. Very, very cool. What on, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did it with a little guah here first.
Yeah. Slightly. Yeah, it's nice to see a Lake Town board with models on it that are actually, you know, themey. That's quite nice.
The Eagles did go near Lake
Town. That's a slight against John, who anyone's not aware of. He's made a lovely Lake Town display board, but it's got a hole for Gwaihir and one for all Galadriel and some Lothlorien.
A man's got to do what a man's got to do, Steve.
A man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Let him be.
Let him cook.
Let him
so,
cook.
Third place at this tournament was won by Mr. Ed Ball. His good and evil lists are on screen, so he's got on the good side, right as a Théoden. So Ed's kindly sent us this list and lots of the other info. He kind of just sent the heroes and then I think it was 7 Royal Guards. So this is a bit of guesswork. He may have had things arranged in Warbands differently.
Yeah, he will have done.
He has Théoden, Gamling, Dernhelm, Deowine, and then 3 captains of Rohan. And he had 7 Rohan Royal Guard. His evil list was something that he takes to a lot of events. It was Black Riders. Again, while he was fantastic at sending us breakdowns of lots of other things, he just said that rider. So this is pure guesswork how I would build Black Riders at 700 points. And if anybody would like to correct me in the comments, that'd be fantastic. But it's the Witch King with 3 might, 2 fate, and I think no extra will. Then I've got 7 normal ring wraiths with 2 might each, 1 extra fate and 1 will point.
Mm-hmm. Alex normal. He might have a Morgul blade on the Witch King.
So this is pretty standard fare for Ed. He's recently discovered that you can play armies that have, well, I was going to say more than a certain number of models, but it's not like Riders of Théoden have that many models. I mean, if he was using Bjornings, it'd be the same number of models. But I mean, Riders of Théoden is a sort of a departure from some of what you might call his classic lists.
It's still very hero centric, which is,
yeah, that's very on
what I've learned to understand of what Ed Ball likes to play is very hero centric.
So, John, if I was looking at this, he probably had the captains beat individual drops, I would imagine, and then a slightly more Royal Guard in other warbands. But yeah, it's
from a
list
building point
list.
Of view, Dave, why is that optimal?
Because then you give away if you're deploying individual drops, essentially most armies, the advantage of actually both these armies have this advantage. The advantage they have is a single hero is an entire deployment drop. So your opponent at 700 points probably has 3 heroes or even 4 heroes leading warbands. As they deploy, most scenarios ask you to alternate. So one person puts down a warband, one person puts down a warband. With Ed here, what he could do is, so assuming he had his captains as individual drops, which I think he will have done, he'll put down a captain, see where you put down one of your warbands. He'll put down a captain. At that point, he's put down about a seventh of his army, roughly. You put down another warband, which is probably, on average, it's going to be more than half of your army. And then he can basically put down 3 captains, see basically the entirety of where you put down your force, and then he can deploy the pieces that actually matter. The idea being that the captains, while valuable and useful and powerful, aren't... If you slightly misplace one of them, you're fine. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Whereas if you just misplace Gamling, for example, that's a bit more of a problem. Same thing with the Ringwraiths. You can deploy 2 of them conservatively, see where your opponent puts your army down, and then you deploy the other 6 really aggressively if you want, because you've seen everything that they can do. It's control. It's a kind of control. It's a pretty clever thing, especially for a player like Ed who loves army control. He'll... you know, see where your opponent's going to deploy and put stuff down to match it. He's done pretty well here. I don't know who he lost to, but I'm pretty sure he went 5-1.
How would you approach playing against Black Riders if you came up against it?
In Good or Evil, it depends entirely on the scenario, really. Some scenarios are very hard to win. Something like Lords of Battle, for example, extremely difficult to win against Black Riders. Something like Domination, not really that difficult because there's not... Basically, they absolutely excel at killing, getting the points for killing heroes. So any missions like Assassination or Fog of War or Lords of Battle or Contest of Champions, they tend to do reasonably well in the sense that they can blow up the hero that is important, because 8 channel black darts in one turn will kill most things. Just because, you know, unless you have heroic resolve and resistant to magic, odds are at least a couple of them are going through and then wounding you and then so on and so on. So it's tough. But then a lot of them come down to just being resilient, understanding that, yeah, you might not be able to charge them, but you just have to always just think about playing the big game. Don't get hung up on any individual model being the hero, because heroes won't do anything. Imagine, you know, it doesn't matter how much will and fate they've got. It doesn't matter if they have resistant to magic. Odds are 8 sap wills and black darts and stuff will just get through it eventually. So even through something like Fortify Spirit, this could probably manage it, you know. So you got to be realistic with understanding your heroes probably aren't going to do much more than be mic caddies, and then use your hero, make sure you're using your troops, get them into position, try and hem them in. As soon as they're hemmed in and you get to charge them, it becomes much easier. That's actually how you kind of beat the Rohan list as well. Sort of.
Yeah.
Get in there, win a roll off, pin them down, and then just you have to roll better for a couple turns, and then you win the game.
You heard it first. Roll better.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's easier said than done. That's why I came third.
Yeah.
Also, he knows what he's doing, to be fair.
Second place is a name I'm sure many people have heard of. It was our Lord and Savior, another fan of the podcast. I'm sure it's his favorite MESPG podcast.
He's a sponsor of the podcast as well. So,
I thought it was Jay Acharya, not Jay Clare.
Jay Clare.
The secret to being good at MESPG is being called Jay.
Or so, in the beginning was Jay.
No, that doesn't help. Trust me.
JA, maybe.
So, as alluded to, Jay Clare, Rules Rice were extraordinaire, took second place. His good list was the Bjornings. So he's taken Grim Bjorn and Bjorn, obviously, with a total of 15 Bjornings. Again, we didn't know the exact breakdown, so we've got a fairly even split of 10 Bjornings with axes, 5 Bjornings with bows, which is how I assume he would make it. Jay's evil list is probably something we see a bit less. He's taken pure Far-Harad.
Yeah.
He's got a Mahud King with camel, shield and war spear with 9 half trolls and a Mahud spearman. Then he's got 2 identical warbands of a Mahud tribesmaster with shield, 5 half trolls, a Mahud warrior with spear and a Mahud raider with war spear, and then that same warband again. So 19 half trolls. Yeah, we definitely don't see this very often.
Yeah, yeah, he's made the most of his GW discount here.
So I happen to know that Jay has had a absolute pile of Far-Harad, so half trolls and camels, for bloody ages. It's nice to see them getting a run out. They're nicely painted as well. All of his armies are. Yeah, he's had these for a long time, since long before they were. Well, I mean, you never really half trolls have never been very meta, to be honest. They've always been a bit niche, a bit weird, because having some models with costing 2 and a bit times as much, it's kind of like cavalry, except they don't have the mobility, so it's kind of hard to figure out how many of them you should have. Sometimes people have a couple, but it's pretty rare that people ever take them en masse, and if they do, people are a bit like, well, it's too much stuff in one, you know, in some models, and then you break too easily when they kill your slightly squishier spears. What Jay's done here is not take any spears, which, you know, whoa, big brain. It's I mean, he's got a couple, just a few, a smattering, but I think it's interesting because this, when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's sort of like Bjornings. Obviously this, they existed before Bjornings, but it's like, oh, 2 wound models, 5/5 strength, 5, very, very hard hitting. They're essentially, I like to always say this, they're essentially an Uruk-hai captain without
might. Well, they're a half hero, aren't they? They're a half captain. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They're like a way stronger than most captains, even like an orc captain wishes it was a half troll, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think it's a fun idea, and he's clearly done well with it because he got 5 wins in a draw. I don't know which round he drew, but he's done well.
He might have drawn against him, and Ed might have drawn, to be fair.
No, Ed had a 5-1. I saw the TPs at the end.
Okay.
There's one of them where if these models do well and they roll hot, they're going to burn for whatever they touch.
Exactly,
like, you can't stop it unless you've got, like, you know, I don't know, 5-6 somehow dotted around.
The one thing you can do is A, have 5-6. B, if you can stop their heroes getting into combat and you've got terror, then they are still courage 2.
Yep,
because obviously the army bonuses, they auto pass courage checks if they've got a hero within 3 who's in combat.
Six.
Apologies.
It has to be a Mahud hero.
It has to be a Mahud hero.
Yeah.
My understanding is it essentially rules out the getting rid of the stand fast. Is part, obviously it also helps if you charge first against terror, but it also really helps out if someone wants to charge you to deny your stand fast, because you still get it.
Yeah. It's frustrating, because if you pin their heroes to stop them stand fasting, they just auto pass anyway.
Yes,
So
it's.
anyone who's not aware about half trolls, by the way, they are strength 5, d6, 2 wounds, fight 5, terror causing.
They
Pretty
don't have
cheeky.
Burly, though, do they?
They don't have burly.
No, they do have an option for a two-handed club, but I'd be surprised if
That's
they took it.
overkill, I think.
Yeah. Well,
If it
also, you're
was
probably
it...
losing less fights then.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, I mean they're pretty fun. I'm happy to see them. I think it's a silly list. I think
Yeah.
it's impressive he's
I
done well with
like
it.
it.
I don't know what the missions were, so it's hard to say. He might have been fortunate with what he came up with. But also it's J. Clare, so he could have had all the hardest missions and still done well because he's one of the best players to ever play in the GBHL.
So, continuing our blast from the
For
past
now.
theme, first place was taken by Callum Edens. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get a hold of his lists, but we know that he took Riders of Théoden on his good side and Host of the Dragon Emperor on the evil side.
Freshly nerfed.
I believe his Riders of Théoden build was a bit of a different approach to Mr.
It's,
Ball's.
yeah.
He had fewer heroes, but a lot more kind of warriors.
As I understand it, he had Théoden, Dirnhelm, Gamling, and I think Deowyn, and then roughly even split Riders and Rogard, probably for about 30 models, I think it was something like that, which is, yeah, a different approach. I think that's pretty cool. I honestly love seeing that more. I think it's probably slightly less powerful, but maybe a bit less swingy as well. And I like seeing just masses of cav. I hate the idea of having to paint it, but I would like to play it at some point, I think. I think that'd be fun.
If you want to borrow it, I can lend you
Yeah,
mine.
maybe. Ideally, I'd like to paint my own Rohan at some point because I do own quite a lot of it. It's just
Having
looking at.
played the All Hero Riders of the Théoden list, or a version of it, I've played the All Named Heroes plus 3 captains fully geared at 800.
Yeah.
It hits like an absolute truck. But then when you lose the turn 2 roll off,
Yeah.
it's even worse because not only are you getting charged, you then lose your horses.
Yeah, and
Inevitably.
you don't have any have behind the lines to back you up. That was
But
all there
then,
was.
didn't you also play Stephen with that kind of list at maybe 600 points? A like ruffians list? It was like what, 170
Oh,
plus models?
that was
And
at 800.
I played an 100 and I want to say 100. No, it was 100 model ruffians list at Command the Battlefield, and I got very lucky. But yeah, it was absolute carnage. I think I killed like 36 models in one turn, which
Yeah,
is,
with heroic combats and stuff, yeah. I
yeah,
mean,
it's
that's a
pretty
little bit
lit.
of a tangent, but I'd be interested to see what exactly he did with his Host of the Dragon Emperor, because I was thinking very clearly that the 700 point level is pretty much one of the levels where the nerf I think has felt the hardest. 700 was always kind of an awkward points level for the Emperor Legion, so I'd have been interested to see what heroes he took. Unfortunately, he was keeping it secret, keeping it safe, and we did not get a chance to get his list from him. But
Shout out to Liam Smith for that tournament last year.
okay.
Yeah. Always shout out Liam Smith. We've got to shout him out every week, to be
Big up
fair.
Worcester, big up Liam Smith.
Big up
My
Liam
favorite
Smith.
thing about this whole podium is the fact that this is a podium straight out of 2014,
Yeah.
2015.
It's like you look at the people who were winning back 10 years ago when you first joined and when I first joined. It's just like,
Exactly.
oh, yeah.
These are some real heavyweights from the past. I think
Where's Damien O'Byrne and Tom Harrison?
well,
They're probably
exactly.
lurking somewhere, right?
I think I saw Damien somewhere in the on the final standings, although I don't think he did very well. I
Right.
don't know. I have no idea what he took though, I should point out.
Before we get too nostalgic, we've got two more tournaments to cover.
Yep,
Any
carry
final
on.
words on this, or should we move on?
Congratulations to the old heads. Keep it up.
Yeah, congratulations, old guard.
The old Eds.
I don't think Ed counts as an old guard because he's literally never gone
Oh.
anywhere.
Oh, I see a very handsome Mr. James Clubley there. Yeah.
So our second tournament of the weekend was the Battle of Borodur. It was a
Yeah.
GBHL 90 held at Bad Moon Cafe in London. The
Great venue.
TOs were Sam Palmer and Curtis Hodgson.
Great
It was a
days.
4-game escalation tournament, 2 games at 350 points, and then 2 games at 500 points, not 50, as is shown on screen.
I say that's not escalation, is it? That's
Most sporting was
50
won
points.
by Kieran McGran. And best painted was won by James Fotherby. We've got a few photos of James's army here.
James Fotherby has won several best painted. Well,
Yeah,
maybe not
that's
several,
nice.
but I've definitely seen these before. It's a very nice looking Rivendell. A great kind of dark red. Done all the bowstrings. It's got Gil-galad, Stephen's frothing
Yeah.
at the loins.
Oh,
Oh,
I'm glad I'm already
there's
in bed.
some nice custom objective markers there
Yeah.
With the
as well.
robe
Those are apparently 3D prints off of Etsy, but he was very happy to tell me all about them. But yes, a lovely army. I unfortunately these aren't the best photos in the world, but they are. I've seen these in person. And they are absolutely lovely.
it's
Very,
the
very cohesive. A bit of a different scheme as well. Always a fan of that.
Yeah, the red and silver is very nice.
So our third place list presents a pretty unique challenge that I think Dave's going to attempt.
So I asked our boots on the ground for the GT was Jakob Krokmal, who got some of the lists for us, and he gave me a bit of information on how to pronounce this. But I understand it's something like Przemysław Wrobel or something to the effect. Apologies if
I
I've
would have
butchered
said
that. Przemysław.
Przemysław. Please comment below with a phonetic spelling so that we don't mess it up next time you
Yeah,
go.
I'm
I
really
hope Jakob
sorry
doesn't
for
listen to
butchering
this
the
and hate me
name.
for that.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
yes, this list, I love it. So is this the 350 list
Yeah.
to start with? Yeah, so he's got 15 models. He's got Bol Gon Warg, six Gundabad warriors, five of them with shield, all of them with spear. Then he's got Fimbul on Warg, leading a Fell Warg and six Hunter Orcs. I think you can call this a bit of a Chad list. Man just wanted to use his Bolg, and clearly it paid off because
But
he got
what
third place.
if Bolg does what he's meant to do in the first couple of games or first game, like what, how do you stop it?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he just runs everything over.
At
Yeah.
350 as well, what are you going to have that's stopping him?
Well, I mean, I guess you just have to make sure your Hunter Orcs don't all
Yeah.
die.
If you thought this was a Chad list at 350, wait
Yeah.
until you see what he adds for 500.
So,
He adds some more Hunter Orcs that no one really cares about.
yeah.
The heroes stay the same, but he adds a fucking troll brute.
The troll brute, which if you don't know, is the it's the troll that has its legs replaced with maces and its eyes cut out. It's a crazy model. Please read its profile because it
It's
has
also a
this.
war crime, but yeah.
Well, I mean, orcs be doing that, you know.
I don't think they've got the Geneva Convention in
Middle Earth, yeah.
Gundabad, don't even have a
yeah.
Geneva.
Gundabad doesn't follow it. Yeah, so they it can be basically it does impact hits when it charges. It doesn't really, well, it doesn't charge. It's sort of like a chariot. It moves, and then anything it runs into and doesn't kill, it fights essentially.
Is it
Very.
strength 10? No.
No, I think it's strength six, although I would have to
6.
double check that. It's
All I
pretty.
can say about actually using a troll brute and doing well with it is Polska Gorum. I'm sorry for mispronouncing that if I did.
Our second place list was something a bit closer to Stephen's heart.
Oh,
We've
no, it is
got
strength 10.
Lothlórien.
Oh, strength 10 hit on the Commander Rider and Mount, yeah.
It's one strength 10 hit, isn't it? Yeah.
So Jackie Wong at 350 points has brought 16 elves. He's got Teleporno, so Celeborn with all the gear, leading a total of 14 Galadriel warriors with various bits of war gear, four with bow and spear, seven with shields, two with shield and spear, one with banner and shield, and finally rounded out with a wood elf sentinel.
I like
And
that
then
he's included a banner at 350. That's
it's
bold.
really key for elves, though, isn't
Repping
it?
the king's colours at all
Yeah.
points levels.
And upgrading at 500 points, the warband for Celeborn remains the same at 350, and he adds Rumil with two Galadhrim warriors with bow and spear, three with just a shield, and one with a shield and spear.
Yes,
For a
yeah,
total of 23 elves at 500
not
points.
bad. I
This kind
think.
of answers the Bolg question is how do you stop Bolg at 350? And the answer is you put Rimmel in front of him.
Yeah, Rimmel's good at dealing with that kind of thing. As long, ideally, if you get the charge in there, because if he charges you and then rolls a six twice, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You have to defense every time.
Even like a sentinel at 350 is quite spicy because you can create a few like situations with that.
Yeah, I
With
think it
the
makes sense. Where he doesn't have any march, he doesn't really. He's got some pretty good shooting. For 500 and below, I mean, okay shooting. I'm pretty interested in this because so one thing I wanted to mention is this is a tournament which uses a scoring system that isn't typical. They use a essentially a VP diff scoring system. So You score points between 0 and 20 depending on the VP diff. So if you get score a VP diff of +5 and you win, you get a 15 points, and your opponent gets 5. So maximizing your victories and scoring big is key. So I can see why something like a Bolgon Warg would be able to score big, but this scoring big consistent enough to come second over 4 games, I'm actually quite impressed by that. I think that's quite challenging. It may have been that I think he was 3-1. It may have been that his loss was a very small loss or
Small
something like
loss,
that,
yeah.
but I'm not 100% sure on that because I don't know the actual scores. Because again, I
This
saw the standings, not the
event
VPs.
also, most sporting votes contributed to your score as well.
Oh, did they?
Not
Okay.
vastly, and it was a small amount, but probably enough for it to be a
Right,
relevant
right, right.
tiebreaker. So potentially Jackie Wong's just a lovely chap, and lots of people voted for them for best sporting.
A lovely chap and also an excellent gamer, because doing well with Hellebore, who is the worst Lord of the West, and has all the gear and no idea because he is too expensive for what he does. Elliot's not on this podcast, so he can't challenge what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Rimmel's good. Celeborn,
I like
cool.
Celeborn, but I
I
think
like
it's
him as a
really,
character.
it's re well, I like his profile as well. I just think it's too many points, basically.
Yeah.
I think if he was as he is for 130, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
Still a bit sad
Really
for no horse, but still, you know, fine. I think he's a
an
good sport.
impressive showing for Lothlorien.
Yeah, because I think he did well with that, considering.
Our first place list at 350 was ran by Richard Spencer. So he took Army of Lake Town and Thorin's Company. So in contrast to the low model counts we saw in third and second place, this army has 35 models, 10 bows. He's got Master Alfred Braga leading a number of Lake Town Guard with kind of evenish split between no extra equipment, spears and bows. So pretty standard there. And then he's got Nori the Dwarf, who, am I right in thinking Nori is the guy who gets weapon, not weapon master?
Nori, no, he does get Weapon Master.
He is
Nori
weapon master,
is
yeah.
the one dwarf for cheap in the company who has a two-handed weapon and strike. So he's fight five, two attacks, strength four, two-handed weapon, two might, strike. He's decent. Basically, Thorin's company doesn't actually offer you a large variety of dwarves, and he's the only one that brings you plus one for cheap, to plus one to wound. So people quite often choose him.
Striking plus one to wound,
Also, he's got
especially
star
at
hair, so
350 points is pretty good.
that's how you tell which one he is. He's the one with the star hair.
Exactly. This list. Oh, we're gonna do the 500 first.
No, let's
I don't.
well,
No, do both. Do
so
both.
at 500 he adds Bilbo and Kili, so
Bilbo, Keighley, and some Lake
yeah,
Towners as
and a
well.
few more Lake Town dudes.
So he's up to 44 models total from 35. Now this, I wouldn't be surprised if this was the most competitive list at the whole event, because that I think Barad-dûr, especially with the
Sporting
sporting
rating.
scores, there's a sort of incentive. There can be an incentive to be sort of more themey, more sort of take slightly more this is what I like kind of lists. Not to call him a power game or anything like that. I think this is an excellent list, extremely powerful at 500. As we know, playing at 450 earlier this year, we all encountered a lot of Lake Town. It's a very, very strong list at the points level. And obviously, you're always running the risk of running into something like Contest when you play as well. I don't know. They played Divide and Conquer, they played Assassination. In fact, actually, he told me an anecdote when I was asking for his list about Assassination. He played against a Balrog at 350, which is, as you might realize, is just a Balrog at Assassination, which definitely has the potential to go wrong. I think that's just you fight the Balrog and pray he does not roll a six, which obviously the Balrog, it can happen.
You
He
stick
he's
Nori and Bilbo in with the ring.
Bilbo. This is at 350, mate. You didn't have Bilbo.
Oh shit. Oh God.
It's literally just okay. Everyone pile
You
on
keep
him.
all of your dudes out, or keep all the heroes out.
I didn't actually ask how he did it. He just told me he did. I happen to know also he did tell me his scores, and he absolutely smashed all of his games in terms of scoring, which would imply that he was probably in first by quite a way just because of how the scoring system works. So congratulations, Richard.
I
Well
think
earned 90 points.
he also writes a blog about his tournament experience. So shout out Richard's blog if you do want to go
Yeah,
check that out.
I haven't don't know if I've seen that.
Yeah,
I'll keep an
I'd
eye on
definitely like to read about how that game against the Balrog went.
Yeah,
That would be definitely interesting to as a read.
I well, I mean, like I
I
said,
hope he does write about that.
there was a lot of when I was jumping through the London Wargaming Guild chat for SBG, by the way, shout that out if you're in London and you're not in it, get in there because there's a lot of people organizing games and chatting about the tournaments and what have you that happen around the London area. A good place to find gaming buddies. I used to be well, I'm still in there as we know, but I used to live in London and it was great for finding casual games. There was a lot of hubbub about the whole Balrog incident. I was sort of keeping an eye on the chat as the tournament was going on. I thought it was quite a charming little anecdote. So yeah,
Right. Let's.
I also rate someone at 350 points just taking a Balrog. That is so
I mean
funny.
that's what you call Giga Chad
No
behavior, I
idea
think.
who that is, but
No, I have no idea
well
who it was
done.
either. But
Amazing.
big. I could
Like
probably
love
check,
that,
but
and then you're praying the Condor Champions go up and goes, "Come on
yeah, go on then.
then."
What you got? And
Let's
then they
look at
have a
our
mortal
final.
blade, and it's all over.
Let's look at our final event of the weekend.
Okay.
Anglian Army's Rise. This was
Damn.
held in Woolapit in the east of England. TOs were James Palmer and Josh Sherman. Again, it was escalation, but this time 500 points was the starting point. So
Is
two
it?
games of that and two games at 700.
Is it definitely not? Is it Woolpit, not Woolapit?
Maybe. Spelling
Also,
is
why is
hard.
it say for Death and Glory? That was in February. No, that was 2 weeks ago. Sorry, not February. It's
It
February
was
now.
also a GBHL 80, not a GBHL
Wait,
90.
so you've written GBHL 80 on the
Well
top left, but
done.
you've
This
clearly
intern
edited.
has to go. This intern
Listen,
has to
this man did
go.
this podcast at the slides as
Wait.
he always does. Oh God.
Listen,
Oh no,
this
I
is
take it
correct.
back. No forgiveness.
Off
I done this time.
Army's apostrophe. Let's go.
So
I'm
this was
tired, boss.
a 40 player
I couldn't do it.
tournament,
I
which
think
I
that's wrong
believe.
as well. I think it was might have been
It's
44.
fine.
Okay, well, it had somewhere between 40 and 50 players. John, you attended, didn't you?
I did. I went
Oh.
and had a lovely time. It was only half an hour from my house. Very nice change. I took my Chittery boys, who I really enjoy using. And the plan went perfectly. Domination was the first mission. I had 57 goblins at 500 points. What could possibly go wrong? A great beast went wrong, and I got stomped and lost. So,
It's not the
didn't quite go
first
as
time
planned.
you've run into the Great Beast of Gorgoroth, is it?
No, I think I've played like four games against them, and I've shat the bed every single time.
They're your
Shut
white whale,
up.
I think.
Yeah, my white great beast. So,
Yeah. I've
if you
got
ever
one
want to.
if you ever want to paint it up for me.
No, Dave.
Yeah,
I
what a nice
lose to you
offer.
enough
Thanks,
already.
Dave.
No, I mean you could use it, I meant. No,
If
just paint it up.
you're gonna
Yeah.
chase the meta
If you can't
into
beat
the
them, join them.
through exactly through the looking
Yeah.
glass.
That has been
So
John's motto, hasn't it? If you can't beat them, join them.
that's why I
He
have to
hasn't played
hop around so much.
a watcher yet, but I'm sure it's on the cards.
0-2,
God.
baby. So most sporting at this tournament was won by Adam Stott, and best painted was won by Daniel White with his Lothlorien. So he managed to beat out my previous best painted winning Goblin Town. Really lovely kind of cherry blossom,
Oh,
pink, white, and
nice.
gold theme. Something I tried to do on my Dragon Emperor army, but I couldn't quite
That's
pull it
very
off.
cool. You mean my
Well,
Dragon Emperor army? I
the
think
trade isn't complete yet.
this is something that I like. I always like to see this sort of thing with Galadriel because it's. I sometimes think, like, obviously in the movies they show them as like blue and gold. But I think I always want. Well, I like the idea of doing, like the whites on the. You can kind of see there the cherry blossom painted onto the Galadhrim courtyard. I think that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd do the cherry blossom, but I really like the idea of like pure white robes on the specifically the guards of Galadriel. I think that would look really cool. I personally, I think I'd have it in an army with the rest a different color, but I think that would be a really eye-catching little centerpiece. And I mean, this looks fantastic. I like the pink highlights, the pink and the pink what are they called? Flights on the arrows. I love the idea that they've been specifically breeding like flamingos to fly all their arrows with or something. That's very cool.
Right, third
Nice.
place at this tournament was taken by friend of the channel Adam Searens, a Golems gamer. His 500-point list was the Necromancer of Dol Guldur, leading 12 Hunter Orcs, a Felwarg, a Hunter Orc Captain, 11 more Hunter Orcs, 5 with bow, and a Felwarg for 27 models and 5 bow.
Okay. Interesting.
I saw him talking about how he wanted to take the Necromancer. I can't remember if it was on the podcast or a chat or something.
Basically, the only reason you'd run a list like this is if you were like, I want to play the bloody Necromancer, because he's an awkward profile to use. I think this is pretty badass.
It's just testament to Adam that he got third place while intentionally and planning on memeing with the Necromancer.
Well, I mean, it's an 80, isn't it? Like, you're not going to turn up to 100 using a Necromancer at 500 points.
27 models with the Necromancer at 500 points still isn't that bad.
No, I mean, it's that's the power of Hunter Orcs, my friend. Like,
yeah, like, it's still like, that's still
really put the band, put the body.
I know it's not like what you typically look at as being like a ridiculously strong list, but like, it's still like, you've got a really power piece there. If it does go well, does well, and you've also got like 27 models still.
Yeah, exactly. Got a couple of Felwags for a bit of mobility. No banner, but Hunter Orcs can get on with that one.
It's quite squishy, but that's what you expect. So.
Yeah, I mean,
Adam's 700-point upgrade added Fimble, load more Hunter Orcs, a few more, not many more bows, but and then he added a banner on a Gundabad. So finally, the list ended up being Necromancer, Hunter Orc Captain, Fimble, 14 Hunter Orcs, 1 Felwarg, 1 Gundabad Orc with banner, Hunter Orc leading, 5 Hunter Orcs with bow, 6 normal Hunter Orcs and a Felwarg, Fimble leading, 1 Hunter Orc with bow, 9 Hunter Orcs and 1 Felwarg. Just adding more boys.
Yeah. I mean, this is interesting to me. So he's got 5 Orc bows on the Hunter Orc Captain. Now, I wonder if that, it's not entirely clear from this, but is the Hunter Orc Captain from, I guess you don't know, but is it from Azog's Hunters or?
I would assume so, because it's green.
I have to double check.
If you look at the top bit, it says Powers of Dol Guldur and Azog's Hunters.
No, I know, Fimble's from Azog's Hunters, but I'm talking about at 500. Like, it says that,
it is.
I don't know for sure.
But, like, it says that. I mean, I assume it should be, because I think you're taking bows. Otherwise, this would be funny, because I was about to slam Adam for taking bows in the part that doesn't get the plus one. But I would assume, since there's basically no difference if you're taking hunters anyway, you might as well ally them, because you're already getting the bonus on the Necromancer anyway. So you don't need to worry about it. As long as you're not wasting points on bows in warbands where they don't get any kind of bonus.
So,
Yeah, exactly. 42 models is actually surprisingly decent numbers at 700. I've never seen this kind of list before. Well, I mean, I have. I did want Azog and Necromancer. Jakob used that for the day one of Imps. But, I think this is quite interesting, actually. It's definitely a good one for an 80, because it's something where you're like, is this good? I don't know. Let's try it out. Because you've got some tricks, like, for example, channeling Shroud of Shadows on a model essentially gives you the ring on demand. So you can still...
Could go in and do whatever he wants to do.
Thimble can go in combat. And, I mean, any hero you can take out with that combo. You just trap him. Doesn't matter how high their fight value is, unless it's Sauron. You trap him, throw in the Necromancer, can put on the Shroud of Shadows on somebody and then go in and then just use his Drain Soul melee attack. Admittedly, he only gets one, but still, it's still, it's strength 6. Good for a takeout of something like Smaug, for example, if you happen to have to fight Smaug at 700.
So our second place list was ran by Robert Lloyd.
Ooh.
He took some... I think this is right. I don't know. There's
that
a bold shown.
Bold must be in the bigger points.
Yeah, right. I think Bold's in the higher point list.
Yeah, sorry. I got muddled for a second. I forgot it was 500.
Yeah. So this is the 500 point list. He's got Fimble leading 500 orcs, 500 orc with bow, 1 hunter orc with a 2-handed pick and a Felwarg, Hunter Orc Captain leading 4 hunter orcs, 6 hunter orcs with bow, 1 hunter with a warhorn and a Felwarg, and then he's got Yasneg leading 6 hunter orcs, 5 hunter orcs with bow, and 1 Felwarg. At 700 points, he adds Bolg, leading 4 Gundabad orcs with shield, 4 Gundabads with spear, and then slightly jostles around the numbers of hunter orcs.
Were you allowed to drop models to go up.
I thought they had to
You could
keep the
drop
leader.
warriors,
Okay, you could
but
drop
you
warriors.
couldn't drop heroes.
Okay. And you're allowed to change your leader from thing to thing, I guess.
As long as they go
Yeah,
up in tier, probably.
yeah.
there wasn't a stipulation about changing leader. You just had to
Okay.
maintain the same
Sure.
hero.
Because I was about to say, I saw Bolg and then 8 Gundabads. I was like, hang on, that's definitely not 300 points. But no, if you're allowed to drop hunters, then yeah. And this is a solid combo.
This is three more models than the 500 point iteration
Yeah.
because Bolg is 175 of those 200 points. But my real issue with this list is I've seen the word hunter so many times now this evening that it's lost all meaning to me.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty okay. Like, I've seen people run this kind of combo before.
Spoilers.
Where you take a basically it's sort of like a different version of Pits of Dol Guldur almost. You run Hunter Orcs, so you get the bonus of the hunters, you get the extra bows and stuff that you don't get in Pits, and then you can take Legion, you can run Azog or Bolg, usually Bolg, because I think he's better in this kind of list. You get Master of Battle, which is amazing on a model that is already fight 7 and strength 5 Burly. Like, that's insane. Like, you charge anything and they strike up, you get to strike up for free. It's fantastic. It's like if Glorfindel had Master of Battle. Like, that's just nuts.
And could wound things.
Sorry, Dave, who do you think's better, Bolg or Azog?
I like Azog more, but I think Bolg is probably better in.
Yeah, this to summarize both lists, Hunter Orc good,
Hunter
lots
Orc.
of Hunter Orc very good.
Specifically,
So,
42 models exactly. You could have
yeah.
more, but I think they've opted for tools and powerful heroes, which is fair.
So our first place list eschews the supreme reign of our Hunter Orc overlords and takes fiefdoms. So James Campbell won the event with Prince Imrahil leading six Axemen of Lossenark, 12 men at arms of Dol Amroth, and then Dwinhyr with three clansmen of Lammedon, five Blackroot Vale archers, six Blackroot Vale archers with spear. And then at 700 points, he stuck with Dwinhyr and Imrahil. So he's got Imrahil leading six knights of Dol Amroth, one knight of Dol Amroth with lance and armored horse, six men at arms. Then he's got the fat man, Forlong, leading six knights of Dol Amroth, one knight of Dol Amroth with lance and armored horse, six men at arms. And then Dwinhyr leading seven Blackroot Vale archers, six Blackroot Vale archers with spear.
Giga
Now,
Chad, I love seeing the fiefdoms do well. It's such
well,
a pretty army with its own little special rules.
this is interesting to me because he's sort of respec'd his army quite heavily from 500 to 700. Obviously, the heroes are at 700 and at 500 are both what you'd expect because doing here is great and needs 15. At which at 500 is high value, and he's cheap. He's only 60 points, which is very cheap for a hero of valor. Imrahil is basically essential if you're going to play fiefdoms at all, because otherwise, why would you bother? But he's gone from axemen backing and some clansmen being backed up by men at arms to pure knights backed up by men at arms, which I think is a good choice. He doesn't have march, but that's a pretty hard line. That's a tough line to fight. You got two lancey boys. You've got pretty powerful shooting. That stuff, if you stand still, that's 12 shots. Sorry, four. No, not 12 shots. 14 shots.
13. Oh, sorry, with the theory
Doing
as
here,
well,
that's a
yeah.
bow as well. Rerolling ones to hit, which if you're not moving is most of them. And then if you call a heroic shoot, you can opt to. It doesn't have to be a doing here. You can opt to call a heroic shoot and get rerolls to wound, which if you're against something like Hunter Orcs and you get a nice two turns of heroic shooting, that's going to be pretty much a bloodbath.
Devastating.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be like 20, 26 shots, most of which are going to hit rerolling to wound. I mean, John, you know how bad it was when I shot yours with my Rangers of Ithilien.
28
Yeah,
shots.
it was rough.
Yeah, I was just approximating.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's hardcore. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Again, I don't know what the missions are. You'd be lucky to avoid something that requires marching with a list like this because.
I guess with that many pikes as well, you don't really care where you fight them, as in
Well,
like you're still
he's not gone
as long
very
as you
pike
as.
heavy though. He's only got one for one, pikes to knights, which is a fair choice. But I think
You can double up where you need to. You've got the higher fight. Like, you can choose where you put three dice in some places, two dice to higher fight. You
Yeah,
can
I
kind of
mean,
mix it up a little bit.
it's fair. I think if it was me, I'd drop one of the knights on horse and have a couple more men at arms. I think having a couple of probably even drop the knights on horse, drop a couple of knights at the front, and then just have like maybe have 10 knights at the front and then like 15 plus men at arms. I think I prefer that personally. But that's just a personal preference. I think playing into the pikes makes sense when your back of your pike block can be used to get the fight five from Mimrahil when you're within three of the men at arms or the knights. But I will admit that knights can be quite independent, and they are pretty good because they got the big 12-inch banner from Mimrahil. Those knights are pretty tough. Lances, fight four or fight five if they're nearby. It's good stuff. And this is a fine list. This is what I would consider probably like a sort of average fiefdoms list at 700. It gets kind of everything. Good shooting, good combat. Basically, the only thing it doesn't get is march. And a legit banner for points.
Congratulations to everyone that podiumed at the weekend, doing
Well done,
what
guys.
I continue to struggle to do. Let's have a look at the meta. We've got quite a few
Let's do that.
tournaments now kind of under our belt this season. I think we've had 300s, quite a lot of 90s. In the graph shown, kind of blue represents a podium, either ally or pure kind of. Could be a good or evil event, or not. We're just taking if they appear in a podium, they get on the graph. So we've got a new leader kind of taking over Jayachara's Isengard in Riders of Théoden, leading the pack for hundreds. Army of Lake Town continues to lead the kind of combined 190 podiums. It's also got the highest number of just 90 podiums. Minas Tirith doing well at 90s. Nothing's Other than those things, nothing, I wouldn't say anything's really kind of sticking its head too far at the parapet at the
Standing
moment.
out.
I
Not
think
yet. I
Riders of
think hope.
Théoden is that's something that Will called when he was on here previously. World Champion called that, and I think that's pretty seems like a good call so far.
I think Host of the Dragon Emperor is doing too well and that might need a nerf.
Whoa.
Heard it here first.
Another one. Is there
Yes.
anything we're surprised we haven't seen?
What on the podiums? Not really, to be honest. Basically, anything like hundreds, I haven't been enough of them to see anything really like a true trend emerge. But Riders of Théoden definitely feels a bit like the flavor of the month, I would say.
It's good into what we refer to as Barn-dûr, and it's also pretty good into Hunter Orcs as well.
I'm not sure I would say it's that good into Barn-dûr, to be honest.
If you've got enough bodyguard and you can just kill the numbs early,
Well, the tactic is just go in and charge dead.
just
But like
nuke things.
if I mean like that might work. I think if they have double wraith, you might struggle. But I mean, evidently it's doing all right. I think that's a fallacy. I don't think it's as good into Barn-dûr as people think it is. But also, no one's taking Barn-dûr right now, so
I guess an argument could be made, like for I think Dave mentioned it on a previous episode. A lot of the hundreds so far haven't been that high points. We've had what 450, 600, 700. So whereas a lot of the especially ones later on in the year were kind of higher points. I think the upcoming few hundreds, we won't go into specifics, but I think there's a lot hanging around the 700 sort of
Seven
point
hundred,
mark.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Is
seems
there
to be the next
anything
flavor of the month.
Dave, that immediately comes to your head at the 700 points that we think viewers should be kind of expecting
Smaug.
to do well?
Yeah, Smaug is OP. Or two dragons with fly and breathe fire. No, I don't think there's anything especially cracked at 700. 700 is a sort of points level that I will say, I think Arnor is amazing at 700, and I think Minas Tirith is really good at 700 as well. It sort of does everything, and most opponents won't have that much that can deal with Boromir, Húrin, and Madril with about 40 lads. Like 42 models, I think that's pretty much every list I've written comes to about that. It's got good shooting, it's got D7, it's got 5/5, it's got bodyguard. It has
Is the
Boromir as
build
Vice-Eben.
there, Boz, here in Madril, as many Guard of the Fountain Court as you can either 3D print or get recast?
I wouldn't say Fountain Court. You don't need that many. You need about, I think, 5 to 10, probably higher numbers, 10-ish. I like to have Axe Warriors and Minas Tirith as well, but that's just me. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's OP or anything, but I think it's a really,
No.
really solid list. Like, I think it's only a matter of time before it podiums a 100.
Do you think there's been quite a lot of like chatter on the grapevine about like dwarfs and how good they are? Do you think the meta's starting to shift towards these kind of immovable object type things like dwarfs, Minas Tirith, like you said, you mentioned Arnor as well.
Maybe. I think dwarves were kind of popular towards the end of last year. Ironhill dwarves in particular, Erebor Reclaimed, and I think they're great. They tend to do well when the meta is favoring like just a grind wall, because strength 4, fight 4, d7 is such a lovely combo. I don't think they do super well at 700. I think they start to come into their own at 800 plus. 700, that everything that you can build with them feels a little tight around the waistband, you might say. It's a bit hard to get everything. 800 plus, you can have basically whatever you want.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what does well at 700 this coming weekend at Preston.
There will be a lot of 700 meta developing over the next couple of months.
Tune in next week to find out what won at Preston. And if you want a kind of to watch a bit of a prelude to that, I know the Golems Gamers released their video on Tuesday, covering some of the lists they're taking. So give
Yes,
that a watch.
yesterday. Yep.
Yeah. Let's look at everyone's favorite section of the pod. Nobody really cares about tournaments. No one cares about the stats that I painstakingly gather. They just want to hear our funny responses to the meme questions at the end. So our first meme question is from the only JP1, who says he prefers the pod without the intern.
What a bully this guy is.
That is mean.
I mean, he's probably correct, but
Grow
hey.
up the only JP1.
Hobby Hobbits 33 says, I'm glad I could save you from painting Bill, although now poor Bill will be the only unpainted one of the crew. I have to paint other stuff. Steven's not paying me to paint his models for him. I'm just doing it for the good of the channel. So when the channel needs Bill, I'll paint Bill. Until then, he'll
No,
sit
no, no,
in
no.
my pile of shame.
I didn't ask you to. You asked if I had the model on,
You
and I said
told him
yes,
to.
because I own just random models that I was like, oh, this is pretty. Maybe at some point if I bother painting.
When Elliot edits the video, you'll get to see what happens to Harry Goatleaf in turn one of the game after I spent all evening the night before painstakingly painting him.
New model syndrome, mate. New model
Yeah,
syndrome.
no spoilers.
Is that an extra? No, not going to
User IH user dash IH6K17GC2Q asks, which heroic action would each member of any heroics be?
that.
So
This is a really good question.
we had a
We were
little
talking about
debate
this all day.
in our group chat.
Everyone
So
was excited to answer this question.
who's who?
So we decided a few things, didn't we? We decided that John. In turn, you are definitely a heroic move, as you seem to flit across different army lists very quickly between events.
I'd like the record to show that I wanted to be Heroic Channel because I'm the life and soul of the Heroic Channel. But
I
that was
think
quickly voted down.
I feel like other people have better claims. Like the founders, for example. I liked heroic accuracy because you got to get those rules right, guys, as best as you can. It's important.
This episode has not been a
When you
shining
call
beacon of heroic accuracy.
heroic accuracy, you get to reread the rule book.
We decided for Elliot that he was heroic combat, because if you've ever played against Elliot, he'll do something stupid like spend 3 might on Elfhelm to cause a wound with his throwing spear on a single goblin warrior or whatever. So
What legends.
he's just that kind of rash, interesting
He
move.
throws shit that he does not need to shit. Yeah, burning throw.
We didn't actually have a response from Josh. I'm going to give Josh heroic strength because I think he shows great strength of character. And it's kind of the dwarf and Minas
Yeah.
Tirith option is a strong character.
Strong.
Jordan, what?
Takes a lot of losses. I
I mean, I don't want to say it, but
did.
Jordan, what are you?
I'm heroic action from Lertz's profile in the old Gandalf rulebook.
Yeah, the
Or like
Gandalf.
army book. The old, no, not the old Gandalf
No,
rulebook, the old the
Armies of
army
Lord of
book.
the
It's
Rings.
just in Armies of Lord of the
Yeah.
Rings.
But
There's a
Lertz has heroic action and I'm that. I'm just heroic action, baby.
It's for those that don't know, there's a misprint in that profile that prints the term heroic actions in the same text as the heroic actions, rather than being a header font. So it's a special heroic that only Lertz can do,
I'm
and
all
also
and
Jordan.
none of them at the same time.
Yeah, everything and nothing.
What were you, Stephen?
I'm heroic swap with me because I just desperately want to change places with anybody else.
Well, you also often play me. You often play me round one at a tournament and get therefore a little leg up into
Yeah,
play round
into a
two.
better
Yeah,
position.
exactly.
Or if I'm in a conversation with Jordan and he's really drunk and I'm like, oh hey you, come over here, swap with me, talk to Jordan. All right.
Ted Arnold Moore says blasphemy. Error Store is great. I'm
Yeah.
not sure who was
Error Store is
bad-mouthing him.
decidedly mid.
Stephen is an Error Store detractor. I think it was because we were talking about heroes that we thought were rubbish.
Bad.
I don't remember exactly why, but
Yeah.
your one was Error
I've
Store
used Error
specifically
Store a
because he
lot.
dies like a chump.
I've used him a lot. I think he has a place. However, that place is behind captains and other heroes. Because captains are better.
Well, Luke Hilder, who came second at the Polish Team Championships on our team, says Erastor is great. So who's the better Gil-galad player?
Me.
M
Maybe.
Venminor 7 just says bat reps, exclamation mark.
Let's go.
We're trying to do more. We will do more.
I think this is a
Maybe.
gentleman who is working on a Black Gate gaming board, and he sent me emails of the stuff, and he's got like this the gate moves and everything. If that is you, I can't remember what your actual name is, but M Veminor, please send me more pictures because I've been waiting for an update, and I'm not your teacher, I'm not
That
asking
could
for an
be Jay Clare, who recently did a Black Gate opens battle report in White Dwarf.
yeah,
Any
sure.
heroics proud to be sponsored by White Dwarf. Davy Gravy says that Kerr Andros cut-in was perfect. Thank you, Davy Gravy. Maybe we should
You're
finally
all
put to
right.
bed our long-standing feud, or maybe you're a
Who is
Hazarding.
he?
Who knows?
Who knows?
He's a good lad.
Seth Clark 6895 says, "Thanks for those picks. As for dice, I'll take you up on that. Suppose I'll have to try going to my first tournament to find you. Any advice where to start? Should I aim for a GB 80? Do I need blinding light, etc.? Nearly forgot my manners. Thank you so much for the content. Much love to you." Much love to you back, Seth Clark. Definitely go to a tournament. Find me
Yeah.
for a dice.
Definitely don't take blinding light is what I would say.
Don't listen
Yeah,
to Jordan.
as
He's
a
watching
blinding light
your.
aficionado, if you're going to an 80, accept that you will get shot and that's part of your growing experience as a gamer. You don't need blinding light. Some lists it's
Never
really
take
good
it.
for, but you don't need it.
Never take it.
Jordan
I think.
is on a mission. I'm on a mission to get everyone to take blinding light at all times so shooting can die a death. And Jordan wants to play a shooting list this year and is like, no one take blinding light, guys.
With
It's ready.
regards
I don't want to see
to
it. I don't
aiming
want to
to
see
go to
it.
a with regards to aim to go to a tournament, aim for locals usually. It doesn't matter whether it's 2 bits or 100, 90 or 80. What always happens with tournaments is you're not going to play people who are going to absolutely destroy you 6 games in a row or 4 games in a row because
Also, if you announce as your first tournament to most players, even if they are competitive and they are going there with the intention to win, they will still give you normally a very nice first game if you get drawn in them round one. Like they're still going to win, probably they're still going to beat you, but they will still play in a very nice manner with you.
A manner that we would expect of any community member against someone who's new who we're trying to welcome in. Seth, if you do see any of us at an event, please come up and say hi.
Yeah, that'd be
What
cool.
area are you in? This is a conversation between us and Seth now. That's what this podcast has become. Where are you from, roughly? Not your actual address. And go to a local tournament.
Don't dox him on the podcast, please.
I played Dave at my first ever tournament.
Yeah.
And he spanked me. Now look where we are. He's
well, and then you played the speaking, game as well, am I right?
He's speaking at my whim under my control on my podcast. How the turns table.
Anyway.
Our next question. J Max Armies of Middle Earth, great channel, says cutting a cake with Andrew, living the dream. Dewey Evans, the overlord of the GBHL, truly is living the dream.
Yes.
I couldn't say anything else. He has me gagged.
Beardy Fluffbag says, need to discuss the OP Legion that is Depths and Moria, automatically turning a 1-10 loss into a 3-2 win. So OP.
This is in reference to a doubles game that we had the week before last at Clubbles, where we had a funny game. He had 5 Shatter Shamans, Gundabad Shamans, and the Balrog. And we, as elves, outnumbered goblins significantly. It was a very hilarious game. Although his dice rolling was absolute shit.
5 Shatter Shamans.
Shout out, Rick.
That's
absolute chad.
That's fun.
Praise to Gaming 8828 says, who do you guys think is better slash worse, Gandalf the White or the Necromancer?
Now, I'm just going to answer the Necromancer. You asked who I think is better or worse. I'm just saying Necromancer.
So, oh, very good. So this
I'll
is
say Gandalf the White then.
This is a great comparison because they're very similar profiles, which is to say profiles that do a lot, but also well expensive.
Yeah.
I think Gandalf the White is better than the Necromancer, personally, but also probably they're both equally difficult to build lists around, but I think Gandalf the White actually does, he's not perfect, he doesn't do everything to as well as, like, he's not the best at anything, but he does actually do everything, essentially.
Yeah,
he's a captain hero ish slightly better than your average captain on horse. You know, he's got fast movement, he's got all the spells basically except for Collapse Rocks, rest in peace. He's got Banishment, he's got Fortify Spirit, he's got Blinding Light, he's got Compel, he's got Transfix, he's got Sorceress Blast. The main thing he's missing is a attractive price point or some sort of special rule that makes him worth it. So re-rolling to cast, for example, or slightly longer range like Saruman has. He's like 40 points more than Saruman, but 50 or 60, depending on which profile, more than Saruman. And can't do that, which is a shame because he is now the Lord of the Astari. That's my hot take. No, but I mean, obviously, everyone knows Gandalf the White is really expensive and it's hard to get the most out of. I think he's still actually good, just expensive. Whereas the Necromancer is expensive and kind of middling. Like, he has unique things he can do, nothing else can do. No one else has the curse spell, for example, which is garbage, unfortunately. But yeah, it's a fascinating profile. I think in specifically the Rise of the Necromancer Legion, he becomes more like stronger because he can do 2 spell casts. But other than that, he's kind of gimmicky. He's like, here's Azog on Warg. I'm going to make him invisible and essentially have the ring, which is great fun. But also, I don't think
in the Legend of Legion, he rarely is casting 2 spells a turn. He's normally using that will.
I know that. I just mean, like,
he's got potential to do more.
Yeah, he can do more, whereas otherwise he's kind of limited in what he can actually perform. But it's a good question.
Further chat about that, watch the Golems Gamers top spellcaster tier list, where they discuss every spellcaster in the game.
Even though they've only used about 4 of them.
Opinions opinions cannot be verified by anyone on this podcast, but it would be an interesting time.
Our final question
and 2 hours of your life
for this week's episode was a fantastic question. So David_3922, we did have to verify this wasn't a David Farmer plant. I can't imagine one of us actually commenting on our own podcast.
Why it wasn't it definitely wasn't his year of birth. So that's also.
Yeah. the question is MESBG Space Jam? Aliens are invading. You have to pick the best 5 players to duke it out for planet Earth. Who makes the dream team?
I think that's a good place to finish the podcast because that is a teaser for a future episode, which we will be running in the next couple of weeks. Also, because we're overrunning slightly, and I want to talk about this one for half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, if you're going to cut me off after 5 minutes, let's not get started. What I would say is the actual better question would be, who are the aliens targeting to steal the, who are the monsters?
Yes,
Who are they
yes.
stealing
Who
the
have they
ability
taken,
from?
and
Which
then who do
NBA
we put
players?
up?
I mean, the GBHL players.
And then who do we put up? That's the real question,
It's
is what
different, you
five is
see.
against the
Like,
five?
who are going to become useless because they've had their powers stolen, and who's going to have to be Michael
The next
Jordan?
five to step up. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's
We
something to
will
think
be
about.
answering this question in a future
Yeah,
podcast.
this sounds like we need to do an emergency special episode to really talk about this.
This one
We're in, yeah,
also,
we're in.
I am very excited to answer this question because I have opinions on this.
We'll do
It's
spreadsheets and
we'll
I'll
do
work out
spreadsheets and
what wins best
stats
weapon and
and
stuff.
let you
Yeah.
know.
On that disappointing bombshell, we will call an end to tonight's episode.
Yeah, thank you for coming along and listening and maybe watching. Remember to comment, like, share, subscribe, support your Hobbit hobby. Go check out the other content creators we've mentioned in this video. There are a few blogs, a few people like Phil Beale, our Golems Gamers podcast as well. Shout out. We love you, we hate you. Which one is it? Both. And be good people, and see you in the next one.
Chitter
See you next
chitter.
week.
Goodbye.
Cheers,
Chitter chitter.
chitter. Get a little mic icon on the middle of your screen. Do you see that or not? Is
Yeah,
that just me?
that is part of the Heroic Stats logo. It's only been there for seven episodes.